I can tell it's a tough time, huh? You can really tell something about a greeting when somebody greets you, and I can tell it's tough for you guys. Good morning. Okay, we're working, we're warming up here. All right, let's get going. Merry Christmas. Now we're talking a little bit. You know, there's something really about a greeting, and I love to throw people off a little bit at times with greetings, because you get into this algorithm where it's always just the same thing. You ever notice that? Where, hi, how you doing? Good, whatever, I don't care, you know, whatever. All that kind of stuff. And so sometimes I say this thing, I'm like, they ask me, how you doing? Kicking it down. And they're like, kicking it down? Like, what are you kicking down? Who are you kicking down? And they're kind of wondering what I mean when I say that. And I get it from this old song. Maybe you recognize this song. Here's the song. It goes like this. Slow down. You move too fast. You gotta make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones. Looking for fun and feeling groovy. Yeah. We should pray right now. Let's pray. Lord God, we come to you laughing, and we come to you because we're excited about you. We're excited about what you have for us today and how you are going to speak to us, because it's all about you. It's always been about you. It always will be about you. It's about you. And we just ask that you would help us hear from you today, that you would speak to us in our own way, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There really is something about a greeting, you know, and I love Paul's greeting. In fact, I'm going to put some verses up here in terms of Paul's greeting, but these are just five letters that he wrote. If you go and look at his other letters, you'll see the similar greeting that's right there. But he says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We're talking about shalom, peace. Notice that it's always the same, and he says, grace to you and peace from God. This is a greeting from Paul. You can, as you read it there, you can see there's some weightiness to this. There's something he's trying to communicate to each one of these different churches. Grace and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's almost like it's a gift. Of course, we know that grace is a gift, right? And peace, of course, grace that's given to you, and a peace that passes all understanding. It's sort of this gift that we have, and it sort of settles our mind. Peace. Shalom. But at the same time, we live in a world that is full of chaos. All you have to do is look around the world, and you can see anger, angst, and just complete and utter just animosity across just these lines. There's all this tension that's sort of in this world, a world that is full of chaos, a world that wants something, but they can't get what they just can't get it. And what they really want is peace. They want to have this peace that passes all understanding. And we live in this broken world. Like I said, a world full of angst, of anguish, of anger, and just of hatred and all this thing. And as we live in this world, it's really difficult for us at times to really live at peace. But those of us who know Jesus Christ, of course, we are peace. Look what it says here in Romans 12. In Romans 12, 18, there's this verse that is just so difficult in my mind. It's so difficult to comprehend. It's so difficult to understand. It's so difficult to apply to our life. It says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Now, I'm the kind of guy that right off the bat, I go, oh, I see the word if. Like, if possible, which is a disclaimer. Like, I don't have to. But really, that's not what he's saying. He's saying, if possible, like, in other words, to the furthest extent of what you can, you need to live in peace as much as it depends on you. And I think to myself, man, if I don't fight for my church, it won't survive. If I don't fight for my family, it won't survive. If I don't fight for my marriage, it's not going to survive. I just feel like I have to be in a fight all the time. But God says, if possible, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Now, I'm the kind of guy that when it comes to peace, I mean, do I even look like peace to you? And look at me, right? I really feel like I was born in the wrong era. I feel like I should have been born in the Old Testament times, right? I mean, I resonate so much more with the Old Testament and the stories in there than sometimes, like, live at peace, kumbaya. You know, I mean, I just don't get that. I'm sort of like Elijah on Mount Carmel, right? So for those of you who don't know the story, there's Elijah on Mount Carmel. There's one prophet. It's Elijah, the prophet of God. And there's 400 and some false prophets, and they set up this war on Mount Carmel, and they basically say, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to set up an altar, put wood on it, put a sacrifice on it, and the God that rains fire from heaven wins. This is my kind of God, right? So these guys go first, and they're dancing around. They're getting it going. They got spears and stuff. They're slashing themselves. They're praying. Nothing happens. And, of course, Elijah is over to the side, and he's like, you're not doing it. Is he asleep? What's going on? And he's being sarcastic. Like, that's who I am, right? I'm like, you're terrible. You can't get him. He's not there. Nothing going on. And then so all of a sudden, they go to the side. Now Elijah comes in. And Elijah says, bring water, because we want to remove all doubt. Bring water, pour water over this sacrifice, just drenched in water. And then Elijah says, God, if you are real, show us. Boom. And all of a sudden, fire, whoosh, boom, totally annihilated. I mean, just burns up the sacrifice, the altar, the wood, everything. Just licks it all up, right? And then what does Elijah do? There's God. Kill all the infidels, right? Like, so all these prophets, let's go and kill them. Like, that's more of my style. How many of you would resonate with that style? You know, like, live peaceably with all men? No, kill the infidels. I mean, this is kind of where I'm at. And so this is a very difficult verse. But the reality is this. Listen. The reality is we have a birthright because we've been born again. We have a birthright that makes us peacemakers, and we have a title. We have a birthright. Say birthright. Birthright. Say title. Title. We have a birthright and a title. Say it. We have a birthright. And a title. This is going to be interactive, folks. Okay, so pay attention. All right. Birthright and a title. And part of this title comes from this very famous prophetic verse in Isaiah that really is prophetic about this time of year. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it says this. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of what?
Peace.
The Prince of what?
Peace.
So he's the Prince of Peace. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who came, he is the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. Let's follow this through. If he's the Prince of Peace, God the Father is the King of Peace. King of Peace. Prince of Peace. Therefore, the Holy Spirit, what is the fruit? What is one of the fruits of the Spirit? Peace. 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 God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the triune Godhead, are known for peace. And just like it says in John 3:3, you must be born again, right? So this is a conversation with Jesus, and he says, you must be born again. So when we are born again, we are born again, we are born, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, comes inside of us, and we have the Spirit in us. Our birthmark as a part of that Spirit is the fact that we have peace. Therefore, we are peacemakers. Say peacemakers. Look to your neighbor and say, neighbor, you're a peacemaker. Now, we've been talking about peace for the last several weeks, and last week, Matt spoke specifically about the peace within the church community, within the capital C church, the church community, how the body of Christ lives peace inside. Today, we're going to open up the doors, and we're going to go out and live peace in the world. Now, of course, this is extremely difficult. In a world that's full of angst, anger, and anguish, it is hard to live in peace. They want it really bad, but they can't identify it. They're very hungry. They're very thirsty for it. And you, by going out and being a peacemaker, they identify in you something that is not earthly, but is heavenly. That's how they identify it. So the question is, how do we, as peacemakers, by birthright, those of us who know Jesus Christ, those of us who have said yes to Jesus, how do we go out and live peace in this world? Well, that's a high call. That's a difficult proposition at best. But fortunately, there is very clear language in Scripture to help us understand how to live as a peacemaker. It's very clear language, but it's very difficult language to listen to and to read. Very clear, but very difficult. Paul actually gives this to us in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, there's a whole section from 9 to 21. It's separated out into two sections, though. In 9 to 13 is really actually speaking to the church, sort of the conversation that we had last week with Matt. That's the church in the church. Now, clearly this whole passage can be lived outside, but there are nuances. As you read through it, you'll see words like to the saints, to brothers. There's nuances, but I'm just going to read through 9 through 13 relatively quickly, because I want to get us to the portion of Scripture in 14 through 21 that speaks directly on how we live as believers with a new birthright as peacemakers in this world. Verse 9, Romans 12. Here's what it says. This is once again for the church. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Notice the imperatives are very simple to understand, but they're very direct. This is how you live peace in the community of the church. Let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good, love one another with brotherly affection. This is the nuance of the believer. Outdo one another in showing honor. Verse 11, do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Once again, this is how you live peace in the community of the church. Verse 12, rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. And contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Now, of course, you're going to see there's a lot of nuance in there that could work directly in effect to the world. But that conversation that Paul was having was for the church. Now we get into the portion of Scripture where we live peace as peacemakers out into the world. I'm going to read this passage straight through, then we're going to go back and we're going to wander through it, okay? Starting in verse 14. This is how we as peacemakers live in the world. Bless those who persecute you, bless, and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is right, what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by so doing you will heap burning coals on his head. Verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Wow. You can see all the imperatives that we are to live as we as peacemakers. Just to review, God the Father, the King of Peace, God the Son, the Prince of Peace, Holy Spirit, the fruit, one of his fruits is peace. It is our birthright to live as peacemakers in the world. So how are we to do that? Go to verse 14. It starts out with a punch in the throat, essentially. Bless those who persecute you, and bless and do not curse them. I mean, does God know that there are Yankee fans in the world? Does he understand the world that we live in at any level, right? Does he understand that there are political systems in this world that make us go, I hate you? Does he understand at all that there are people we work with that actually are undercutting our jobs all the time? That there are people who are taking our promotions and are undercutting our jobs? Does he understand that there are people who are cutting me off when I am driving? Does he understand that I actually am living in a world where my business is being thwarted by government town officials that are not allowing my business to thrive? I mean, does he understand what kind of world we live in? Yes, he does understand. And he says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. I mean, it starts with a punch in the throat, doesn't it? This is so hard for me. I don't want to bless the infidels. I want to kill them, right? I mean, if we create this huge gap and this huge separation, it's us and it's them. He says, no. We're going to start from the beginning. Those people, the them in your world, you need to bless them. They're going to curse you. Bless them. How? Watch. Verse 15. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Who are the people who you cry and laugh with? Mostly. The people who you are the closest with. So what he's talking about here is he says, no. This is not distant living. This is involvement living. This is going out and being peacemakers and laughing with them and crying with them, being intimate and personal, understanding their needs and crying with them when they need to be cried with, laughing with them when they need to be laughed with. Live with them. It's not us and them. Go out there and be part of the solution. So bless the people who curse you, those people who hate you, bless them, get inside of their family, laugh with them, and cry with them. Show and give emotional energy into this relationship. Don't make it a distant relationship. Engage in it as if they were family. Now follow me here. It says, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Verse 16. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Now there's like four statements here. Live in harmony with one another. Now, it's walking in and living in harmony. Let me tell you what he's not saying. He's not saying, hey, when they're telling bad jokes, go there and that's the time you should laugh with them. He's not saying that you should go and buddy-buddy up so that there, listen, is no difference between you and the crowd. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, you got to get close, but be clearly identifiable. And so what you need to do is live in harmony, right? Live in harmony. This is not about blending, but it's about living in a world and not against it. Don't try and separate yourself from it. Live in the world and be part of the solution in the world. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. This is where the holier-than-thou kind of attitude separates us out. When we feel like we're haughty and we're going, well, I can't associate, because people will think, because I can't. You're creating a divide, which Paul is trying to bring us together. Paul's saying, listen, this is how you bless those who curse you. You get inside of the family and you become peace in their space. But associate with the lowly and never be wise in your own sight. Well, you this, you that, you infidel. That's creating a barrier and a separation where that peace which you have is not going to penetrate inside of the relationship. Verse 16, I'll read it one more time, we'll go to 17. Live in harmony with one another. Be not haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Verse 17. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. This is a hard verse. This is a very hard verse. Repay no one evil for evil. Now, I am a no prank kind of guy, right? No prank, practical jokes, like prank jokes. In fact, one of the things that I do is I run a camp. I used to be a youth pastor back in the day. And in all of my ministries, I've always said, there's no pranking. Because prank is, to me, I don't understand it. Like, it's like, pranking is kind of one of those things where you do something, and you're like, I can't, that's funny. Wait till they see it. And then the person sees it, like, oh, okay. Oh, that's really funny. Oh, that's creative. You know, see, when I start seeing that, I go, oh, that's where we're going. So I'm kind of like, oh, boom. I just bring in atomic warfare, right? So for example, if somebody says, oh, I'm gonna get some whipped cream and I'm gonna go, you know, I'm gonna write something on Nate's windshield. If you do that to me, I will drop a tree on your car. Because to me, I'm going, okay, we're going like this, that's where we're going, I win, right? I mean, so repay no one evil for evil is a concept that is very difficult for me, and I have to say, for a vast majority of humanity to understand, because we have a sense of justice in us that if somebody does something bad to us, we have to repay them. Let me give back the blessing that you gave to me. No, that's not what it is. Bless those who curse you. He says, don't repay evil for evil. But actually what he says is this. He says, but don't repay evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. Notice that the jury is the entirety of humanity. So in the sight of the entirety of humanity, when you go, everybody in the world ought to be able to say, wow, that's pretty impressive. That person took the higher road. I mean, these are high bar verses to live. Going out, but in order for us to go and live, listen, our title of peacemaker embedded into the community of unbelievers, there has to be something that separates us from them. And it is not the, I'm better than you, I'm holier than thou, you are the infidel, down, down, down. That's not, the way you do it is by getting right in there, with loving, laughing, crying, embedded emotionally with them, but at the same time showing a complete separation in the way that you interact. And they're going to do something that's evil against you, and you should not repay it. But actually do something that in the sight of everybody is completely honorable. Now in this passage, there's a couple ebb and flows. And at this point, we get to the first ebb. Here it goes, verse 18. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. He's saying, listen, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Now, you have to understand that we are a new creation. We have been born again. We are a new creation. Humanity in its natural form cannot live at peace. There is no peace. When you say yes to Jesus, when you say yes, the Holy Spirit comes in, the peace that passes understanding comes in you. The fruit of the Spirit is Jesus. You're really trying to channel that fruit of the Spirit out of you. Manufacturing that is going to be really hard. Really hard to manufacture. You actually need to just allow the Spirit to be the peace that's in you, to live your birthright as a peacemaker. That's how it's possible for you, as much as it depends, possible with you to live at peace with everybody. Now, it goes back down, and we're going to do another elevation sequence. Verse 19. Beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. This is a direct quote from Scripture before, And essentially what he's saying is this: don't try and return justice. You are not a proper judge. You have too much skin in the game. Your emotions are in this game. You are not going to serve justice correctly. You should not be vengeful. You should let God take care of it. Don't allow the justice to remain at the human level. Allow God to take care of the justice that needs to happen in this space. Leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Says the Lord. It's a higher plan of justice than in the human form that we can do. That's the essential calling. Don't engage in a negative way. Bless them. Bless them. Here's the next verse, verse 20. To the contrary, in fact, if you want to do something to that person who has hurt you, to the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. You're going, finally, a verse that I can get behind. Right? You know? And this is kind of a weird metaphor that he uses here. I want you to notice a couple things. He's talking about a physical form of eating and drinking. Let's start there first, right? These are physical forms. These are non-sustaining forms. And he's saying, listen, feed and give them a drink, because that's, but really in what he's trying to do in a spiritual sense, he's trying to say, listen, they're thirsty for something, and that something that they're thirsty for is the spirit which resides in you. And as you go out as a peacemaker, they're going to be, man, what you have, I need. In the physical form, he's literally saying, listen, give them some food, give them some drink. And then there's this enigmatic piece of scripture here that says, for by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. And I've heard several different things about this, and it's always, you know, some people talk about it and the fact that as people went into the village, people would carry their coals in a little pot on their head so that when they got to the next place of staying, that actually they would have a fire. And so as they walked by, they would not just, you give them food and you give them water, but you give them coal so they have a fire for the next night. I mean, that's certainly there. There's also this idea of just, maybe it's just a motivating thing. I don't know. Somehow there's a motivator in here that says, listen, you just need to go. And then ultimately, he finishes with the final verse in verse 21. He says this, regardless of anything else, 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So in the end, in the final sort of flow in the final piece there, he says, listen, whatever, don't be overcome by the evil that you're going to receive. Don't be overcome by this wave of hate and of cursing that happens. Because when you get close to people who don't know Jesus, there is going to be bad things that are going to happen. It's not going to be pretty. It's going to be ugly. What do you expect? Right? I mean, what do you expect? It's like, in my camp, right, when we have camps, we have kids that play basketball. And every once in a while, we have a kid that says things that aren't nice. Right? Why do you think that is? Well, they don't know the Lord. They don't know Jesus. What do you expect? You can't reform the outside. It starts with an inner renewal. You accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You have the birthright, the title. Now, you can live peace. You can live this out. This is how God lives it out. Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I love the fact that in the previous verse, he's talking about eating and drinking. Because in this space, it really gives us this very simple principle. Don't fight fire with fire. Fight fire with water. I mean, that's a very simple concept and a very simple illustration to think through this passage. We so many times want to fight fire with fire, thinking that at some level we're going to give them justice for what they deserve. You deserve hell, I'm just going to give you a little more fire before you get there. I mean, that's not the way it works. We are to live the title of peacemakers and go out into this world and be peacemakers in this world and fight fire with water. This goes right to John 4, where Jesus is at with the woman at the well. He says, you're going to drink this water, and you're going to be thirsty again, but I want to give you living water, and you will never thirst again. Spiritually speaking, as humans, they consume, and when we were fallen, we just consume things that help us stay in this world. But in order to have a sustaining existence, the peace that passes all understanding, you need to provide to them the peace that comes through you that God is going to use in this world as you as the peacemaker to deliver his peace. Listen, key word, deliver his peace. So remember we said you have a title and a birthright, birthmark, right? You have a birthright. Birthright is peace. What's your title? This is where we turn to the next passage. Look at it in 2 Corinthians 5. This is what it says. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. If you have said yes to Jesus, you have been reborn. You are now a new creation because the Holy Spirit resides in you. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Listen to verse 18. All this is from God. What is from God? The new creation. Who through Christ reconciled to himself, reconciled us to himself, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, now that we have the birthright of peace, we are peacemakers in the world by birthright, but by title, we are working in the ministry of reconciliation. We are crossing over the lines, and we are working in the ministry of reconciliation. Notice the verbiage. Verse 19. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting us the message of reconciliation. So we work in the ministry of reconciliation to deliver the message of reconciliation. By birthright, we are peacemakers. What's our title? It's in the next verse. Verse 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us. Notice the verbiage. Through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. So our title is ambassadors. We are ambassadors of peace in working in the ministry of reconciliation. Notice what it says in that verse. It says what? We implore you on behalf, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. His appeal through us. We don't fabricate it. We can't fabricate it. But we need to open ourselves up and allow God to work through us. And as he works through us, we truly then can bless those who curse us. We can laugh and we can weep with those who are enemies with us. We can engage in a world without being a part of the world. We can engage in the world. We can live in the world, clearly identified in the world, clearly identifiable in the world, but living out our title and our birthright, ambassadors of peace in a world that is thirsty, that wants this peace, a world that is in chaos, a world that is angry, that has anguish, that is anger, that has just an angst and is looking for resolution. And their only resolution is the reconciliation with the Father. And you are a part of this ministry. You are the ambassador of peace to the world. So my question is this. Are you going to, ready? Number one, are you just going to relish in that idea? Relish, meaning just sit there and just kind of like a hot dog with relish. Just relish. I've got the peace that passes understanding down in my heart. Woo, down in my heart. Woo, down in my... I got that peace. For those of you who don't know what that's... For those Protestants, we learned that at church camp while you guys were learning the Apostles' Creed in other denominations. But you just... Sometimes we just want to just relish in it. Oh, I just love the peace of God. I have it in me. You know what happens? Are you going to relish in it? Or are you going to store it? You're going to block it in. You're going to wall it in. You're going to keep the ministry of reconciliation to yourself. Are you going to store it in and not share it? Or number three, are you going to live it? Are you going to go out with a title and a birthright as ambassadors of peace, working in the ministry of reconciliation? So that God can work through you to draw those who don't know him to himself. So take a moment and just think about this for a minute. Are you going to just relish in it? Are you just going to store it up? Are you going to live it? Think about it. Make your choice. My prayer for you is that you would live as a peacemaker. That you would live as ambassadors of peace in a world that's full of angst, anger, and anguish. That you would be that living water that they thirst for. That you would carry that birthmark of peace out into the world as you work for the ministry of reconciliation. I mean, I imagine a body, a church coming together, God using this church to go into the world and spread peace, shalom, to all mankind. Peace that passes understanding. You have within you the Spirit who longs to draw people in, who is that living water that people are unsatiated for. They're just thirsty for it. Help them satiate their thirst by living as a peacemaker in this world. And so I leave you with this benediction. Go and be ambassadors of peace, bestowing the peace of God and proclaiming his grace, which was activated in you in the ministry of reconciliation. Go and be peacemakers in a world that is thirsty for peace, which comes from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. May you go in peace.